T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Michael's back. You know he's back, right? Oh, yeah. Oh. I'm so excited because I love talking to my son every Sunday night. And you've let me know that this is your favorite hour, too. So I hope that you will sit back and enjoy. It is time for the Mom and Michael Hour. How are you, son?
I am fantastic this Oscar Sunday. How are you?
I am just doing fantastic. First of all, I just want to put it out there. I saw Black Panther twice. Silence.
Now, we got to talk about this. Because this is coming from Mom, who refused to go see The Dark Knight, who saw half of Thor 1 on TV and considered seeing Thor 2. I think you watched the middle section of the first Avengers. You pretty much don't see Marvel films ever.
No, I didn't see the first Avengers. I saw Iron Man 1, 2, and 3.
You liked Iron Man, but I think you saw pieces of other Marvel films on TV, but never actually watched them in total. But more importantly, I say all that to say that you don't really care about Marvel movies.
Not at all. I did like the X-Men, and that's Marvel.
It's Marvel content owned by Fox Studios, so made by an entirely different team, of course, with the Disney deal to purchase Fox in the works, and most likely going to happen later on this year. All that content will then be re-owned by Disney and, of course, Marvel.
Disney is gobbling up everything that's huge. I'm surprised they haven't taken on the Francis Ford Coppola trilogy of The Godfather.
No, I think they aren't just gobbling up things for the sake of eating everything up in town. They're building a machine, if you will, a large base of IP that they can use, or rather conflate together to make these enormous slates that have cohesive storylines throughout all these different films. So Fox has had the rights to X-Men and to the Fantastic Four for quite some time. So pulling that back underneath the Disney umbrella is great. Also, with the Avengers Infinity War, the film coming out this May, and then, of mm-hmm. course, part two of that saga, where the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy and all of the Marvel heroes we've seen in these Disney Marvel films so far, they all band together to fight against this villain named Thanos. But in the comic books, it's not just them who are there fighting against Thanos. It's also the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, the Surfer, all of these other pieces of Marvel comic book intellectual property that Fox has rights to need to be in that fight scene. So what I'm expecting to happen is that Disney and Marvel have leased out the rights to those characters for at least the second of those new Avengers films, if not both. And if you're already doing that, if you're already paying money to have these characters in your films, if you're already paying to lease that content, why not buy the entire studio, take all of their other shows, put them on your streaming platform, since you pulled all your content from Netflix, and kill two birds with one stone, bolster your streaming platform, instantly be in line to compete with Netflix and Hulu, and also bring in your whole Marvel universe together under one roof.
Now, this is how I know about your passion, honey, because I have cooked a hanger steak, green beans, and a sweet potato. And I'm starting on my dessert, all in that moment, in that one question I asked. In fact, I didn't ask a question. I said, I saw Black Panther twice, and there you go.
Well, but
this is truly your passion.
You said you're surprised Disney isn't eating up The Godfather, and I explained why that wouldn't make sense, because what they're doing seems to be a very cogent plan, business-wise, and I think it's great. I don't think they're getting too big at all. I think it's just, for the first time ever, we're seeing this sort of high-level power at a studio where you can get these 10-year plans of films, and the result of that are these quality films we've seen from Iron Man 1 all the way to Black Panther right now. Where these films are getting better and better and stronger and stronger, and where, with that power, they're able to push diversity on screen in ways that studios haven't done before. They're able to say, no, we're going to make an all-black cast, nearly, in Black Panther. We're going to put it out there. We're going to spend $200 million making the film, but we're going to spend another, I'm assuming the P&A, Prince and Advertising budget on Black Panther was probably $150 million, maybe more than that. I mean, even if we call it $200 million, that's a massive spend on that film, but it is worth it because it's going to become the billion-dollar Black Panther movie. I'm waiting for that headline to come out. I'm excited for it. I know it's going to happen. We are just weeks away from this film making those numbers.
Okay, so first of all, I'm done with dessert, and I've got my tawny port. So,
is it an 18-year port, though? Because those are delicious.
They're just fantastic. Just fantastic. I mean, really, Michael, as you talk about this, and I've tried my best to find the passion in these type of movies. I am not a big superhero type of person. You know that. Mm-hmm. But I do appreciate when they bring in the reality of today and mix it in with this fiction and make us think about it even on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. You know, normally you should be able to watch a film that deals with the reality of DACA and immigrants and that sort of thing. But for some reason, because Black Panther deals with immigration, that was the thing that I held on to from the very beginning of the movie when it was first discussed that, you know, we do not bring any refugees into Wakanda, period, because they bring in their stuff. I can't remember exactly how it went, but you know which quote I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on to really address immigration in little small bits and pieces throughout the movie that leads a trail for us to have a discussion afterwards. And so that was why I went the second time. That was why I wanted to make sure that I saw everything that I needed to see, that I didn't miss something the first time. And I have to admit, I actually enjoyed it far more the second time than I did the first time.
So before we go into that immigration piece, I just want to pause, have a moment of applause that Mom enjoyed a Marvel movie. This is a strong, wonderful, beautiful moment. Thank you. This is good. I'm happy.
Okay, honey, but I did enjoy Iron Man.
He's like, I liked Iron Man.
I really did, although I don't remember who starred in it. What's his name?
Oh, come on. Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr., one of the best dressed men in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. Okay.
So on the immigration piece, you know, that wasn't a through line that I picked up on when I saw the film.
It wasn't?
No, because to me, when they said that, it wasn't a comment on immigration, on trying to keep people out. It was a comment about how they operate and what they're trying to hide, what secrets, wealth, and riches they have in Wakanda that they're trying to keep out and why they're doing it.
Sustaining who they were.
More so as it's painted at that point in the film, protecting who they were. So I see your point, but I didn't see that as a comment on immigration. I just saw it as them trying to set up and explain who and what Wakanda was and how they operate.
Wow. So you've seen it how many times?
I've only seen it once, but I'm working on it.
Oh, be still my heart. I've seen it more than you.
Well, no, because I'm working on the DVD and the BD and the ultra high def DVD at work with my day job. So I've seen multiple pieces of the films multiple times in client reviews. So I have not seen the whole film more than once, and I definitely am going to. But throughout the coming weeks, I will see it probably, I don't know, 15 more times.
Interesting. Because that was the thing I held on to immediately. That, in fact, throughout the whole movie, it really does address it in little small pieces. You know, you could see the transition or transformation of the nation of Wakanda, the people, from being isolated to opening up to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that was remarkable. I can't wait to see the next movie. And, of course, it's going to be an Avengers movie, and Black Panther will have a small role probably. But
from the trailers we've seen that came out even before Black Panther came out, Black Panther has a considerable role in that film. So I think he'll be quite front and center in that film, as well as the rest of the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy. But I do see your point. I think I'm going to go back and watch it again and see if that through line of a comment on immigration jumps out to me when I watch it again. But on first viewing, that wasn't what stood out to me the most.
Wow. What stood out to you the most?
The just sheer astounding beauty of this film. I mean, we've heard people talk about this film quite a bit already, and there's many articles online, so I'll try to keep my response to this film short, but obviously I loved it. I mean,
define beauty for me before you go into it.
I've never seen people on screen in leading roles who look like me in this capacity. I've never seen blackness put into a world that is prosperous, intelligent, that is not enslaved, that's not secondary to someone else, that isn't marginalized, that isn't ostracized, that isn't oppressed, that isn't gangbanging or selling drugs or robbing banks, the lone good person fighting against the system. It was this siloed world of prosperity and grace that was black, and we've never ever seen that before on this scale in the history of film.
Not on this scale, and that is the key, that it, not on this scale. I agree with that. But I will say this, Michael. So the technology and all of that, I don't understand, particularly your generation, who has seen the beauty of this movie. I mean, to hear people say how beautiful Wakanda was, and I didn't see that. I saw the technology. And I appreciated the technology. It was remarkable. But I didn't see the beauty of the city itself, uncloaked.
I think when people say the beauty, and I'll specify that to when I say the beauty of this, it's less about how the actual country of Wakanda looked, though I did think it was beautiful, and more about how I felt when I saw it. It was a beautiful sight to see them in those costumes and wardrobes and their movements, and it was just so regal, and it was.
I agree with that.
I felt beautiful inside and out. I felt acknowledged. I saw my reflection of myself, my ancestors on screen, and seeing all of that put on screen in such a positive image was beautiful and felt beautiful. So I think that's what people are saying when they use that word.
Speaking of beautiful, Michael B. Jordan. Enough said. I mean, the bumpy dude with all of those tats or whatever those were, man.
You know, he was great on all the TV shows he's been on, all the films he's been in. He was great in Creed. I mean, he was buff and built up in Creed. But in this movie, there was just something different. I think that this is really going to make him even more of a star, because he had an appeal in this film that I don't think anyone had seen before.
It was absolutely charismatic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, to be a bad guy, you know, I really hated him, seriously.
he was easy
to hate, but... Oh, my gosh. He had such charisma on the stage. And is he the one that's doing the dish commercial? Where all of a sudden it goes, yeah. Come on.
Sure. I haven't seen that commercial, so I'm not sure. But, I mean, he's been acting for quite some time, and he's been in a lot of large titles. But you mentioned that you hated him or he was easy to hate. I actually felt the exact opposite of his character in the film. To me, you didn't hate him at all. I actually liked him a lot. In fact, all the villains in Black Panther had honorable intentions, which is the first time I've seen that in quite some time. They all had depth to them, and you could live in all of their shoes. No one was just bad for the sake of being bad. You understood why they were making the choices that they were making, and you felt like they were in some way justified to make those choices.
But isn't that how real life is as well? I mean, the prisons are filled with people who had a reason to act out the way they did.
Yes, but I think it's so often when you have an antagonist in a superhero film. Really, it's in this genre. It's rare that they have that level of depth. They're usually just bad monsters or bad people who just want to take over the world and they want power, and that's the extent of it. And myself and most others are okay with that, because we aren't there to have, you know, deep villains. We're there to really just watch superheroes save the day. But in this case, you kind of want to be Eric Killmonger as much as you want to be T'Challa, even though they're enemies in the storyline.
Who is Eric?
Eric Killmonger was Michael B. Jordan's character.
Oh, right. That's right. It's his character. That's right. Okay, so let's talk about King T'Challa for a moment.
T'Challa, yeah.
What was it?
T'Challa.
What?
T'Challa.
Thank you. All right, honey. You know your mother has challenges. Okay. Here's the thing. I'm amazed when I hear him in interviews, because I want to hear the vernacular of the king. It was so beautiful and so regal, the way that they spoke, the way they moved, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you hear him in an actual interview, and he doesn't sound like that at all. And I have to blame myself for that, because I expected it and I shouldn't have. We all know that you often work on dialects when it comes to movies like this. But boy. Mm-hmm. The dialect of the people, the way they used the words, the studying that went into that, it was really just beautiful, really quite moving. So I have to say that I heard him in an interview Saturday morning, I think it was. It was a television interview, and I was just shocked. I was like, no, give me that other dialect. So,
yeah.
That's never happened to me before, but he was very regal in that role. And by the way, he was also very pretty in the outfit.
So, well, wait, I just want to go circle back to you having seen this film twice.
Twice.
You are not alone in that. There are many people like myself whose parents went to go see this film not once but twice and brought their brothers and sisters and even brought their parents mm-hmm. to go see this movie because of what it meant to them. And because, of course, yes, there's a huge wave of hype behind this and people are saying, well, I should go see this film. But the hype is real and the film is really, really, really strong and we haven't seen anything like this. So that's partly why it's making as much as it is so quickly. And it's already become one of the top Marvel films ever, one of the top superhero films ever. One of the best opening weekends ever, best second opening weekend ever, one of the best third weekends. I mean, I can go on and on. I can give you more concrete stats later on. But it's beating the biggest movies out there in history, and it's only in its third week, you know? So I can only imagine what its final numbers are going to be at the end of its theatrical run.
I just finished an Long Island iced tea. Thank you very much.
That's a good choice.
I just love that you have so much to say about this movie. And as I look back over our tenure here together on CCO, Michael, I don't know of a movie that moved you so much from top to bottom. And it happens to be a fictional place, it's a superhero movie. I'm so surprised at that.
It's a fictional place that depicts a very real existence and consciousness and struggle. I mean, Wakanda is the heart and soul of me and all of my black friends. It's how we feel on the inside, but how we are not seen on the outside all the time. And the protagonist and antagonist of the film are very much like the storyline of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King we've seen played out in X-Men over the years with Professor X and Magneto. So we've seen white faces play out the conflict of trying to solve a civil rights issue, whether that's LGBT or black or Latinx, whatever it is, through someone who wants to do it in a violent way or through someone else who wants to do it in a peaceful way. Marvel's handled that beautifully from the comic book days all the way forward into all these films. That's the inspiration for those two characters in part, and that's what's being reflected in the X-Men saga. So to see that same narrative now played out with two black faces and with all the complexity of what it means to bring black faces to that in a fictitious world, it displayed the inner conflict of being especially a black man in America every single day. Because every single time I go out of the door and I have to interface in my regular life, I have to choose, do I want to be Eric Killmonger or T'Challa? And that may seem extreme, but if I parse that example down into, like, when you're stopped by a police officer, you're always adjudicating which of those two versions of your black king you want to be. But no one's ever put it on screen in a way that is this beautiful and regal.
Well said. Bravo, Michael. We got to take a break. You're listening to the Mom and Michael Hour with my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 10:30. Let's make that right, Geraldine. 10:27 here at WCCO, wrapping it up with Black Panther with my son, Michael Battle, who absolutely loved this movie. Welcome back, son.
Thank you so much.
If there was one thing that you really hope children, whether they are black, white, or otherwise, because I really think this is something that everyone should see, what would you hope they would take away from this?
I hope they would see themselves and be reaffirmed as to who they already felt they were.
These are children of color?
Yes.
Okay.
So you're saying everybody.
I'm telling all children.
So I'll start with that. Children of color will see themselves on screen and say, yes, I am affirmed that the way that I feel inside is truth, and that though I don't always see myself, I can be those things I aspire to be, and I can be the version of myself that I feel each day. Or if you don't feel that way, you can see it on screen and go, oh, wait, I didn't know I could be that way. And if you are not a child of color, I think you look on screen and have to do the same thing that children of color have done their entire lives. It's find the commonality you have with characters who don't look like you, and not only see how much you are like them and be inspired by them, but see that same commonality in your peers around you. And that is, I think, not an ask that's like a new skill set. It's just a shift. And it's like, hey, non-people of color, learn what we've had to do for generations. And in doing so, we should be able to find more commonality in the future.
Which character do you relate to the most again?
T'Challa.
But T'Challa.
At the same time, as I mentioned before, not to repeat the whole thing, but we're a hybrid of both. You're always even if I'm mostly T'Challa, I have an Eric Killmonger in there churning around, and sometimes I have to unleash him. So it really just depends on what situation I'm in.
And who am I in the movie?
I would love to ask you that question. Who do you feel you most are?
I'm asking you that question, dear.
But I would love to hear your answer.
Yeah, but I would love for you to answer my question.
I'm going to make a hanger steak.
Well done. Bravo. Brilliant.
You know, Long Island iced tea, was it? I think you had a whole list going on. A side dish was there. I mean, it was the whole Boston market. You had it all set up for you.
We have to take a break. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour. We'll be back in just a moment. It is now 10:34 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour. We are wrapping up our last half hour for the night. It's been such a joy being here with you. I really do enjoy it. And to have my son join me tonight, it's been a while since we've been on together, Michael, so this is great. Is he there? Oh, Michael's not there. Oh, okay. We're going to get him on. Jonathan Lowe is like, hey, hang up the phone, dude, so I can talk to my son. There you go.
I am talking to your son about where he is at in the show,
right?
He's trying to catch
oh,
up.
Oh, the Oscars?
The show. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In fact, we need to talk about the Oscars.
He is not completely caught up. He's mostly caught up, but not completely caught
well,
up.
Well, that's
and
too
is,
bad.
And it is live on the West Coast. Right
it
now.
Is live on the West Coast time. Hi, Michael.
Hi there.
Okay, so I suppose you don't want us to tell you the good news, right?
I don't want to hear the good news, but I did see Best Original Screenplay.
Oh, you did?
I saw that one. I was watching it, and I got to say, I was like, oh, well, I would love for Jordan Peele to win, but I don't think it's going to happen. And then they called that man's name, and I jumped. I went, oh, my God.
Wow, incredible. He is the first African-American writer to win Best Original Screenplay.
That Get Out was the most innovative, I think, script this year. Original screenplay, I think it deserved the award. I mean, the other movies were wonderful, don't get me wrong. And it's not just because he's black or the film dealt with racial issues. I just hadn't seen a movie written like that and handling its content like that in quite some time. So I'm so happy he won. That was a great surprise for an award ceremony that's had several dull moments so far. So
oh, really?
Have it in there, yeah.
You know, I haven't watched it yet. I won't be, so that's okay. You go right ahead. Yeah, the Oscars. You know, I really don't care as much about the award ceremonies as I used to, Michael, when it was just the big three, which was the Oscars, the Grammys, and the Tony Awards. Man, I was excited to watch all three of them. But now we have this, what I call convoluted system of the award ceremonies, and there's red carpet all year long. I mean, really, that's what it feels like. For the first 6 to 7 months of the year, it just seems like there's red carpet events. And for some reason, I'm just not as interested as I used to be.
I mean, you mentioned that, and I get that. But I say pick the ones that inspire you and watch them. I mean, yes, I get burnt out on all the awards show also. But every single year when I watch the Oscars, it feels magical. It reminds me of a huge reason of why I'm in this industry, and I always want to be in that audience, and I get wrapped up in the whole thing. And even when it isn't the best Oscars we've seen ever, I still get that tingle that first made me want to move out here to Los Angeles and put in all this work and learn all that I've learned. And it just, I enjoyed it. It takes me back to that source of inspiration.
Right. Now, let me ask you about Jimmy Kimmel. Did he do a great job from what you've seen so far?
I think he's done a great job. The awards, again, have had several dull moments. He's added some really great jokes, some that were really great. He's handled it quite well. He's been very relaxed and easy to listen to. He's been funny. He looks great. So I have very much enjoyed him on the award ceremony so far. Again, I haven't finished watching the show here on the West Coast. But, I'm enjoying it.
So Billy Crystal versus Jimmy Kimmel. Which one would you choose?
Billy Crystal brings more pizzazz. I mean, his opening numbers were truly that, opening numbers with all the people and the big sets and the songs, and they were hilarious, and it just really gave you this strong pop of energy right off the bat with the Oscars. But some of Billy Crystal's later jokes kind of fell flat, and he was good. He's always been great. I think they brought him back, what, like 3-4 times, something
right,
like that?
Right, right.
But On this version, it's just a little bit more laid back. And since everyone wants to say so much and there's so many movements going on and there's so much out there and the whole ceremony seems very much anti-Trump, which I, of course, think is wonderful, I think that it's Jimmy Kimmel's job to kind of moderate that and not let this turn into a giant preach fest on a soapbox.
Yeah, in fact, he talked about that when they asked him, how are you going to, you know, when will you know to be political and when not to be political? It's a fine dance, that's for sure.
It's a fine dance, but I think that he kind of said a lot of it up front in his opening monologue. It was really more of like an opening conversation because he was so relaxed. So it was pretty much like the opening monologue to one of his shows. Very laid back, him kind of talking to the audience, cracking some jokes, and basically saying, we get it, you're passionate about these things that are really important. He called these movements out by name, but he said also, this show was really long, so we need you to keep your speeches shorter. And there was a joke to go with it that ran, that had so far run throughout the entire Oscars. And it was really, really smart because it took the pressure off from any one person to make sure that they speak up toward a movement. So there have been little moments here and there, call-outs here and there of movements that are important to the person winning or presenting. But not the long, you know, grand speeches that we've seen in previous awards.
Well, I do appreciate people being able to say what's on their mind when it comes to political statements, whether I disagree with them or agree with them, mainly because we are living in difficult times. This is a whole different time to be living and watching all of it unfold. And I think those that are in leadership, those that are, you know, getting these type of awards, you know, people really look to entertainers to get a sense of where they stand and maybe fall into agreement with that. So I'm thrilled that they gave that voice a chance, because tonight is probably one of the longest Oscars ever.
Really?
In my own personal opinion. Usually it's done by 10 o'clock. Am I right about that, Jonathan?
No.
Isn't it usually done by 10, maybe 10 after 10? But it is now 10:40 here at WCCO. I mean, really?
I'm sorry. I've been going back and forth and my mic's been on. I don't know if you've been catching me eating as the show has been going on this segment. But I think the Oscars have gone on to 11.
Really?
I think they have.
I think in past years they have been there have been extremely long Oscars, especially longer than this one so far. So this the speeches have been so much shorter this year. I'd be shocked if this one was in the top five longest Oscars ever.
Right.
So,
well, here come. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, with all the award shows that you and I have worked together, all the Emmys and all the Tonys and all the Grammys and all of that, I want to say it was usually the Oscars that were the ones that dragged on the most.
Oh, yes, of course. But I'm not sure that this one is going to take a top position in terms of which one was the longest. But yeah,
I thought it was 10 after 10 was the latest time. So we got to look that up, Jonathan, and see how late does the Oscars usually go, because I'm used to it being over by 10 after 10. And in fact, when it would hit 10 o'clock, I'd look at the clock and go, oh, goodness, it's going to go late. So I'm surprised that 10:41, it's still going. They still haven't announced the best film.
The past few years, I have been speaking with you when those awards were still yet to be presented. So this feels very normal to me. This doesn't seem abnormal at all, where I have the Oscars paused. So I think they normally go about that long.
Okay. All right. Then I received that. Well, congratulations to Jordan Peele. I will never see that movie, Get Out. I don't like horror films. And that's a horror film. Am I correct?
Suspense film.
No, it's a horror film.
To
no,
be,
no.
To be
no.
honest, I would say it's more suspense than horror.
No, yeah. No. It's a horror film. He said it in an interview.
Your daughter watched it.
What does that have to do with it?
She can't deal with scary movies, and she loved it.
But what I'm saying, Michael, is that in an interview, they asked him about the genre of music, and I mean, of genre of the movie, and he said, I love horror films.
He said he loves horror films, yes, but that doesn't mean that this one is perfectly in line with what that word normally means. But again, the best example is your daughter can't deal with any scary movie, anything, and she watched it, and she loved it.
Okay, I'm looking at it right now on Box Office Mojo, distributed by Universal, release date February 24th, 2017, genre horror.
But again,
horror.
We've had this conversation before. I encourage you to see it. That's a word. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's in line with elements of the film, but that's not what it is. I don't like scary films. Vanessa doesn't like scary films. We both love the film.
Am I just like chopped liver here? I mean, honey, I've proved my point.
I'm sorry, but in this case, I have to agree with Michael.
I didn't ask.
I know you didn't ask. I just figured I'd throw my opinion out there.
I want to win this argument. Did you notice that?
She really does. But, you know,
I do.
Let me give you some facts that might help support your argument.
Mm-hmm.
As quoted on Box Office Mojo, Black Panther's performance has so far had it ranked the 10th highest grossing domestic release of all time, third highest grossing comic book adaptation and superhero film, and it has found a new spot within the all-time top 50 worldwide. This weekend's performance was also the third largest weekend of all time domestically and should pass should the past 2 weeks be any indication, it could leapfrog Avatar for second largest if actuals come in 2.8 million higher than estimates.
That's wonderful. Really?
Quote from Box Office Mojo analysis. Those are only some of the records this thing has broken, and we're in the third weekend. And I would say not to go back to Black Panther, but no, I'm totally going back to Black Panther. I think the next few times I'll be speaking with you, I'll have even more facts to list off, or rather more record-breaking success metrics from this film, until eventually it's going to start hitting number one all-time domestic. Again, it's number 10, top 10 all-time domestic gross ever,
yeah.
And it's been out for 3 weeks.
Well, so, I do love that you love it, Michael, and that you see something really special in it. I don't have any problem with that. I saw it the second time around, and I'm really glad I went to see it. Now, I must ask you about Red Sparrow. It is a Jennifer, what is her
Lawrence.
Name? Red Sparrow, you know, it's a Russian woman who is made to serve her country in a really unique way. And I don't know, when I first saw this and I knew Jennifer Lawrence was in it, you know, and I happen to like some of her work, I am not interested in it at all. Are you?
I actually was really, I saw the trailer and I kind of got a feel for what this film was. I was interested. I definitely do want to see it. But Black Panther. Did you know that Black Panther hasn't even opened in China yet? China, the second largest box office market in the
world.
It
has not opened in China yet?
It hasn't opened. Has one market left, and that's China. That's next weekend. China alone in 2 weeks could help push this thing to $1 billion.
Oh, my goodness.
But Red Sparrow, we should talk about we should talk about Red Sparrow. I do really want to see it.
I hope that you will.
It had no chance of besting Black Panther this weekend. Also, it's had to compete with the Oscars on this evening. So I do want to see it. I don't know when that's going to happen. But since all these Oscar films, I won't be pressured to go make sure to go see all the Oscar films. I might have more time to go see other films coming out. But, of course, A Wrinkle in Time is coming out next week.
It is coming out next week. Are you going to run?
I don't know if I'm going to run. I'm interested for sure,
mm-hmm.
But I'm intrigued to see how it plays in the fourth weekend of Black Panther, because it's definitely going after much of the same market. So we'll see how that plays out. It might end up coming in number two to Black Panther or even further down the list. I don't know, but I'm definitely going to see it this coming weekend.
You really are quite remarkable. You just... You surprised me. Now I have to bring this up, and I know you're not going to be happy about it.
Uh-oh.
50 Shades of Freed has been out now for a little bit. I know you didn't see any 50 Shades of anything, but it's made a lot of money.
Has it?
It has. It's made $250 million foreign, $95, almost $96 million domestic.
How long has it been out?
I knew you were going to ask me that question. Oh, my gosh. What was it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
I'll tell you. 50 Shades of Freed is in its
4 weeks.
Fourth week.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it's made how much?
$300 million. Let me make sure I have that correct. $346 million worldwide.
Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 week less, Black Panther's made $897.7
million. Are you done, dear?
I can't be done, because I think the point I'm making with this joke here is that I am actually struggling to focus on any other film. The importance that even some of the films I'm seeing on the Oscars have lost their weight in the shadow of the immense success of this film and what that means for the industry. Because it's
but
not,
nobody's going to talk about this movie at the Oscars until next year, which, by the way, it may be diminished by then in the sense of how popular it is.
Oh, no. It won't be diminished. In fact, it's already in this Oscars. They put, clips of Black Panther in the videos in this Oscars. There were jokes about Black Panther. They're already talking about how big of a success that film was in this year's Oscars, because not even they in the room can ignore what this is. It's not just about oh, a bunch of people saw this movie and it's all black cast and that's nice and that's sweet. No, it's about a movie that is absolutely changing the film industry in a financial way. This is a fiscal paradigm shift that proves the metric proven proof that came out of a talent agency.
The metric proven proof?
In other words, we now have the actual box office numbers to support what was already proven from previous box office numbers, but in a much larger way than ever before. Because a study done by a major talent agency last year said that if you want to make four-quadrant major box office pictures, you have to put people of color and women in your picture. Mm-hmm. And the numbers were there by the long-term research to show the margin, the profit margin you will gain by putting black and brown faces and women in lead roles in your movie. But now we have the proof on top of the proof. We have it done in a way that is more successful than almost every other Marvel film in history. This is the biggest studio in the world, besting the biggest studio in the world with an all-black cast. So, yeah, I know I'm overly excited. I'm nerding out about this film. But it means that for everyone after me, for every previously marginalized person who wants to dream about making content, a TV show, an online show, a movie, it means that they will be that much more accessible to them and that they will no longer be told in film school or in their studies like I was that you cannot open a big movie with a black protagonist overseas. Like even when I used to work at production companies, if I wanted to bring in a project with a black star, I knew that that film had to play strongest domestically because no one overseas was going to put in the pre-sale dollars to give us our pre-financing. I mean, that literally it is hardwired into the finances of this town that that's not a viable option. So those numbers, those massive international numbers with an all-black cast has changed the way money is going to flow through this town forever.
Amen, son. We got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 10:52 here at WCCO. Woo! I want to say thank you so much to Jonathan Lowe, in-studio producer and coordinator, Jimmy Erickson, producer extraordinaire, Shaletta Brundage, who is now part of the WCCO family. Oh, hey now. I have so enjoyed being here with you tonight. We're going to wrap this up with my son, Michael Battle. And I have to tell you, son, I had no idea that this meant this much to you. I need you to know that. And I apologize for not taking it more seriously. Because it really, and for me, growing up, there were certain movies that came out, and we took such great pride in that as African Americans because we had never seen anything like that before. Whether it was a television show, I remember when the Huxtables first hit the scene, you know, or to have a peek into black college experience, which, you know, I had never experienced. I went to a white college or to see Coming to America or, you know, I could go down the list. But it changes things. It really does. So, you know, people may think that it's not important, but it is important.
So, are allowed to think it is important. That's okay, and that's part of what I love to do when I'm talking with you, is to be that voice. And I have friends who write it online, and friends who say it in their speeches at other awards. The job is not just to let the content be and work amongst others, but to also echo that voice and put it out there and refocus what that means, like others have done from past films for years and years and years, where we've looked back on a film and its impact in hindsight and said, look how important this film or that film was. And definitely Black Panther is marching forward in the footsteps of some of the films that you mentioned and the TV shows you mentioned that changed America's perspective of the black experience in a positive way. Absolutely, I have to acknowledge those forefathers and foremothers in that process. But I think that's partly what I'm most excited about is we have Black Panther in those footsteps. I can only imagine what we're going to have in the footsteps of what we're doing right now.
Well, remember that it is also within the shadows of some really terrible things that are happening in our nation when it comes to bringing people together. We have so much that is splitting us apart. That, you know, the next round of movies that come out, I don't know which way they're going to go. I really don't.
We don't, and that's almost part of the success story of a film like this or any film that makes numbers like this, especially when they are diverse or have diverse faces in them, rather, is that to make numbers like this, you cannot have any one type of people seeing the film. It cannot be all black audiences or all Hispanic audiences, et cetera, et cetera. You have to have a four-quadrant film. You have multiple age sectors and multiple races seeing this movie. So this film, I think the audience, by the metrics I read most recently, the audience wasn't even, I think, maybe a little over half black. So that means that the other half of the audience, and again, those numbers are not current, but let's say it's half, the other half are white and other non-black people. So we are, in a way, coming together in something that is inherently subversive to the hate coming from the White House. So it is part of a larger movement in such a positive way that makes me even more excited about what this film is and what it will be in the future.
Here's what the thing that challenges me. When I look at the body of work that Chadwick Boseman has, mm-hmm. right? He was in 42 as Jackie mm-hmm. Robinson. He was amazing in that movie. Although it was hard to watch the mistreatment of African-Americans during those years, right?
Right.
That was tough. And I've watched it so many times. He was wonderful in that movie. But he was also, portraying Thurgood Marshall. He, you know, also portrayed other really key figures in our nation. And so you watch some of those things unfold. And that's not what, you know, we're holding on to as much. We're holding on to Black Panther, the fictional character. So I'm just praying and hoping that in holding on to all of it, that we include it all, what's real and what's not real, our history and what's not our history or what our future will be, that we truly understand that, yes, we can be all that we want to be, and that it just doesn't stop with us. It doesn't stop with them. It's all of us. And hopefully in this great nation of ours, we can continue to see it grow and accept remain the country of immigrants. And so I might even go see it one more time to make sure I didn't miss, just to make sure I didn't miss the conversation about immigration, because to me, that was one of the most important pieces of that movie.
And yes, briefly on Chadwick's earlier films, he has played those important historical figures, but all of those important people persevered in the face of white oppression. And I think one of the many reasons why T'Challa in Black Panther is why people can relate to this character so much is that he never experienced white oppression. Wakandans were never oppressed, and they are superior because of it. And that's a narrative that we haven't seen before on this scale.
Wow, that's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in. Son, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm looking forward to you and I revisiting this topic a year from now. Literally. A year from now, because I'm curious to know what all would have transpired in a year.
I hope good.
And I do too. I absolutely do too. Look, you take good care of yourself here.
You take care of yourself. Stay warm and that's snow.
All right. Would you like to know who got Best Actress and all that?
No. I'm going to go watch it. No spoilers, please.
Okay. Okie dokie. Love you, son.
I love the Oscars and I love you more.
All right. It's been a pleasure being on with you tonight. And for those that may think that, wow, that was just too much to take in when it came to Black Panther, go see it. And I think you'll understand how we got here tonight. All right. To all of you who listened, all of you who have been a part of it tonight, really, I'm so grateful. And I cannot wait to be right back here next Sunday night. Until then, take care of you. Good night, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.